This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joy 94.9, you're on Saturday Magazine with Adam and Nick and the gossip there with Dime Store Diamond. Keep your calls coming through for the Liza tickets, $10 a ticket, and there's just over 40 left, so you've got a 1 in 200 chance of winning. They're only $10 a ticket.
That's if you only buy one ticket.
Yeah, buy 10.
Yeah, buy 40. Go on, ring up now, buy 40. $400, it's going to go towards helping Joy. What are we going to do?
We're getting we need all new CD racks and stuff in our studio, so they keep breaking down. So we definitely need the help. 96992949. Think of it as a massive donation to Joy.
It is a massive donation and a wonderful opportunity for yourself. So you can feel good. You can go to Liza Minnelli. You probably will still feel good.
Yeah, be reserved tickets.
But there you are. It's not everyone's taste. Now, this morning, it's community something or other.
Community safety awareness.
Another one
month
of those. Listen, rather than us prattle on, let's turn it over to Gabby and Greg. Good morning, Gabby. Identify yourself, please.
Yes, I'm Gabrielle Tyack, Senior Constable and Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer for Victoria Police. Mm-hmm. However, tomorrow, Acting Sergeant Manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit.
Ooh, is that you?
No. I'm just being upgraded while Scott Davis is on holidays.
Oh, excellent. Upgraded.
It's like the A380 version.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah, you, right. Bigger, more leg room. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
And Greg, you're a regular around Joy, but you've got a number of roles here at Joy.
I do. Well, today, Nick and Adam, thanks for having us here. I'm representing the Anti-Violence Project here today. So it's a very important partnership, three-way partnership between Joy, Victoria Police and the Anti-Violence Project.
It's been going for a while, the Anti-Violence Project, hasn't it? Quick
it's
background
about
on it.
12, we're probably now 13th year, and we had two reincarnations, sort of about 2001, we sort of slowed right down and got a bit of adrenaline with a new committee and kicked off, and we've been going really strong for quite some time now.
Which is a bit sad, isn't it? Anti-violence for how long? 13 years.
Well,
what's that saying?
Well, we'll probably be going for quite a while longer.
It's not saying you're not doing a good job, it's saying that there's an issue out there.
Well, one of the issues in our community is it's not the happy talk type activity that people want to do and socialise and chat about. And so
that's a little message there for the silent majority type people who email us and SMS us and say, why don't we shut up and let the silent majority set the agenda? Well, you stay silent and you won't be getting any agenda.
And that's why the Anti-Violence Project exists, because people are being silent and not reporting crimes to the police.
Now this is, and they've got every opportunity through GLOW. Quickly, background. We love talking with GLOW. We always like to do a quick background on the GLOW.
Well, GLOW was established in 2000, and at the time there was one full-time GLOW, and I think there were probably originally one full-time GLOW and then five around the state. Now there's one full-time GLOW, which is myself and 20 portfolio holders around the state. So GLOW is put in place to be a contact point for the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender community to speak to police, get advice, report crime to if they are uncomfortable going into a police station or reporting it to a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So can we kick things off with what constitutes a homophobic crime? Like,
yeah.
Anything or?
Well, homophobic crime is anything against a person that is basically come about because of a perceived or a real idea that the person is gay, lesbian, transgender or bisexual. So anything, if you feel and you're a victim of a crime and you feel it's because you're gay or GLBTI, that's a homophobic crime. Often it's because of homophobic language. And that's how we identify that it is a homophobic crime.
And from the perpetrator side of things, the perpetrators are using homophobic values and judgments. They're often lack of information, or where they do have information, there's something that's driving a phobic value judgment in their own lives against people that are same-sex attracted or bisexual or transgender.
So just slightly more simple terms there, Greg. So no, seriously, unpack that a little for us. So you've got someone who's got problems about gay people or...
I think of a great example. There's a 26-year-old guy now in Paran that's doing some work with the Anti-Violence Project, but 10 years ago, when he was 16, he used to go through with a pack of men in the Coles car park and lead them into bashing gay men up behind chapel off chapel. Now, he did that for a number of years till he got caught, put through the legal process. During that process, bit of counselling, it unpacked that he actually was latently gay himself. So his phobia towards gay men was driven by a fear or a hatred about who he really was.
Is that a bit of a cliche? We all say that, but is there a real truth behind that?
Well, when you unpack, if you talk to the end professionals that work in counselling with people who have been offenders, people who have bashed and hurt other people, when where there's a homosexual aspect to their assault, you'll find that the professionals talk about this latent homosexuality in some of those people.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, or at least some of the time, when you hear about assaults down at Beats public sex locations, you find that the person who is the offender who assaulted someone has had oral sex or performed oral sex and then beaten someone up. So that's internalised homophobia. That's how I see it.
But then there's the other thought. It's the straight men that want to be the big, macho, brave boys, and they'll challenge anyone that's less power, or they perceive to have less power than them. Could be a woman, could be a man of different cultural background, could be a gay man. So it's about a power relationship and them using that and that the phobias and the becoming a homophobic assault.
So what you're saying there is that being seen to be gay is being seen to be a position of weakness, which justifies then somebody being aggressive. So
to some perpetrators?
Yeah, that's what happens a lot of the time, because victims of homophobic violence tend to be silent victims. They don't report the crime. So the offenders know that they can get away with assaulting, raping, blackmailing, stealing things off victims because they know they won't report it. So they're going to get away with it and they keep on doing it. And that's one thing we really have to get out there, that if something happens or you're aware of a crime or offenders or can give any descriptions of anything, even if you don't want to give your details, we need to have the information as much as you can give so we can stop the behaviour.
Some people might think they're overreacting by reporting things. Like, are there, for instance, if someone yelled out "poof" or something out of a carload of guys, and you got their number plate, would that be worthy of reporting it to you guys?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Because we've found that a high number of homophobic assaults are preceded by homophobic language. So even though you may not have been physically assaulted, or you've just had a name called at you, the people that are doing that may next time assault somebody. So if you can call the police or the GLOWS or even the Anti-Violence Project and report the number plate and what happened, when, where, any description you have.
That's like verbal abuse.
Yeah. Look, the police may not act upon that incident, but we can gather the information, and next time it happens, we can say, hey, this is what's happened before. Mm. Or if the same kind of thing happens, we can think, well, this has been reported. Perhaps it's the same people, and look into that.
Same number plate comes up. One of the great spin-offs of our emerging security as gay men, say, in the world, is that it's given room for effeminate straight men to feel comfortable about being effeminate and girly. Are straight men reporting homophobic attacks because they're just not so butch-looking?
Do you know, it's only a few days ago I was talking about my childhood experience where I went after many years to a reunion of Year 12, and the four boys that were effeminate and were picked on and bullied, which I wasn't one of them. Actually, I was one of the stupid gay people that stood back silently and let it happen, and I've always regretted that. And apologise for that. And the four boys that were effeminate and picked on for being gay are now all straight with wives and families. And the boys that actually picked on them that were macho are now the gay boys that are out there.
It just comes around. But there there are a lot of girly men around, which is really nice, if it's somewhat confusing for those of us who are wondering what in the hell's name you're doing.
Oh, do you mean you're only attracted to girly men? You assume that if they're girly, they're gay, do you, Nick?
That's why I respect you totally, Greg, but you're not my type.
To answer the question, we have had reports of homophobic assaults on straight men who have been perceived to be gay. Mm. So, yes, even though we don't have too many homophobic crimes reported, and that's the problem, and that's why we're asking for you to report, some of them have been straight men who have believed to have been gay, and that's why they have been assaulted. So, yes.
Okay, you're talking here on Saturday Magazine. Where are we, Adam? Saturday Magazine?
We are.
On Joy, 94.9. Yes. Talking to Gabby and Greg about, well, homophobic violence, but it's in the context of Community Safety Month, is it?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been doing quite a bit of talking here and elsewhere. What's the story about the whole month and what's the purpose of it?
Oh, there's a whole range. It's right across the state of Victoria. This is everyone. Gay community is just part of this.
Okay.
The ethno-specific groups are part of it, different communities, the Arabs, the Jews, a whole range of different groups. And in the community, their neighbourhood houses are talking about it, political groups are talking about it. I've spoken at a Liberal branch meeting, a Labor Party branch meeting. I've been to neighbourhood houses talking about homophobic violence so far this month. I've been to schools. So a lot of people from our where we're coming about with violence against gays and lesbians and bis and trannies, the violence message is going right across the community about how to deal with violence.
Yeah, and it's a message saying that we all have to take care of each other and also take personal responsibility for our own safety.
Mm-hmm.
So we're promoting acting safe, being aware of your surroundings and make not putting yourself in situations that might be unsafe, and also for everyone to look out for each other and help each other.
That's a great point. It's that sharing of information. We might see something happen and not report it, and then it'll happen around the corner to someone far worse.
Mm.
And because we haven't taken a stand, someone else will be subjected to violence.
That's something that you do have to think about if you are a witness or a victim of homophobic crime, that yes, it may not have affected you or you may not want to report it, but by not reporting it, you may be basically, well, not assisting it to be ongoing, but you could have prevented it happening again, and you haven't.
Mm. But that's not the same as stepping in and intervening.
No, and you, in general, we advise against that because you always have to look out for your own safety first.
Right. And, you know, Nick, every report we've had on violence through the AVP's website at antiviolence.info, when you look at gay men that will verbalise back to people that are being homophobic or verbal towards them, that always escalates the violence to a pushy, shovey, sometimes physical violence.
Mm.
And so it's better actually to turn away and walk away, not to actually respond to verbal taunts. I know it's a hard thing.
Swallow your pride and walk away because you're protecting yourself. And if you start talking back, it will escalate, and then you'll find yourself in a much worse situation.
Do we have any stats on homophobic crimes in Melbourne?
Not a huge amount because of the lack of reporting, but the research has shown that 80 to 90% isn't reported to police, and that's huge amount.
Yeah. And the Coming Forward report had stats around where over 80% of people had experienced some form of violence. In the UK, 1 in 10 reports. In Victoria, it's roughly 3 in 10 are reporting. Less so in the rural areas, much less in rural areas are reporting the violence that takes place.
They're not reporting the violence. Yet the research that Anne Mitchell has done, about a year ago, I guess now, shows that young gay men, particularly, I guess, in rural settings, the least place they feel safe is in a sports club, for instance, which is often their major social outlet and things. So that doesn't mean people are happier out there in the rural sector.
Well, let's unpack that a bit. What's actually in the men's sporting environment? It's largely men, and it's groups of men operating in this power structure where men have to be macho, have to be strong and tough, and have to be kings and legends. And if you're effeminate or if you're gay, and if you're not a peer leader, if you can be gay and a peer leader amongst your school group, you'll come through that fine. But when you're not a peer leader and people don't look up to you, you suddenly become someone that can be put down so other people can feel big and tough and strong. Mm.
And that same research showed that the same amount of homophobic violence is going on in the city and in the regional areas. So it's not different in the city. There's not more violence in the city. It's very even, which often we would find unusual because we think there's more of a gay population or at least an out gay population in the city, so there'd probably be more incidents. And same with family violence.
Well, there's one exception there with family violence. Same-sex domestic relationships, gay men are more likely to experience domestic violence in the cities, and lesbians are more likely to experience domestic violence in the rural areas. So they're the two distinctions around same gender attraction.
What is that about?
Well, I'm wondering.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm. I'm wondering if being in the city, men are more likely to report it, whether it be to police or just through counselling and services provided.
Perhaps have bigger networks, Gab?
Yeah, perhaps. And in country areas, women are more likely to report it because they're more comfortable as women reporting those sorts of things.
Are there more really women living in partnerships in the country?
Who knows?
I mean, you know, that the stereotype of Dykes and Dalesford sort of thing. But again, property is cheaper in the country. Well, women have less disposable income. It might be all sorts of...
That points to a problem, though, Nick. And Adam, that's around... There's a lack of resources into gay and lesbian, bis and transgender violence-related issues. For example, big campaigns around domestic violence for straight people, targeting straight people. Where's the targeting for the gay community?
Well, we don't really like to admit... I mean, we have enough image problems anyway. We don't really want to admit that there is violence. We've talked about this a bit here on Saturday Magazine, other places in Joy, that there are issues about domestic violence, but it's a very uncomfortable issue. We'd like to think that we're sorted out at home. But are we?
Well, since I've been in the role of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, I've worked with Family Violence Advisor within Melbourne and arranged for formal referrals when police go to family violence incidents, particularly with gay and lesbian people because there were no referral services that we're aware of that police could refer same-sex attracted people. But now we have got that those services. Drummond Street and Salvation Army have come on board, and they have trained. We've assisted in training their workers so that when referrals are sent through, they know how to deal with same-sex relationships where beforehand they may not really know what extra, not problems, but extra, what am I trying to say? Just different kind of issues that they may confront.
Well, different sensibilities. Yeah. Kind of surprises me the Salvos are there, given the...
I know, but
they're probably exempt from employing gay people now under the proposed legislation coming through in Victoria.
Yeah, but they've come on board and they're doing a really good job with that.
That's a confusing world, isn't it?
Yes.
Great. Well, we've actually had an SMS through from Sue, who says, you've spoken a lot about men, but what kinds of homophobic crimes are common to women?
Indeed.
They're all very similar. What is reported and what we are aware of usually is homophobic crimes against men. I think male offenders that offend in groups or usually in groups target men because they're more comfortable or it's more likely for them to assault men. But there is homophobic crime against women and it is the same. It is assaults. There are women who are assaulted after leaving nightclubs just like men are.
And it's ironic. We had a report a few months ago about women being subjected to homophobia in Brunswick. And this is, once again, the big internal debate in the gay community. We know it's happening, but there are people out there in our community that say, well, reporting is not the issue. We should be getting out there and attacking people. We should be upfront and thump someone back.
Vigilante sort of thing.
Certainly at the meeting we had at Brunswick, one of the venues, there were people that were condoning, one person at least condoning vigilantism, and we had a discussion with him about how that's inappropriate. But there are people that say, no, we don't want to report. We want to go out there and just put anti-homophobia signs up. Well, I think it needs to be a combination of signs saying that homophobia is not acceptable, but the other signs that need to go up are saying report every incident of violence. And then that engages the straight community as well. Mm. It's not just the gays and lesbians that need to report violence against us and against lesbians. It's the straights that need to, every time they see it happening. If they see two women hand in hand being picked upon for being lesbian, I want those straight people to be reporting that violence as well.
Do you know what really shits me? Is that we're still here talking like victims. And, we're being picked on because we look like women, or we are women and we're lesbians. We're being picked on because we look like we're gay men, therefore we must be weaker, therefore we must be targets. I can understand the vigilante mentality, and I don't support it at all, but it's something hasn't happened somewhere along the line. Why are we still being perceived as being second-rate, second-class, vulnerable?
Unfortunately, I think sometimes we do feel that we are victims, and that because we're gay, we can't report it because, well, the police won't take it seriously because I was assaulted because I was gay, so it's not really important, and it's not something the police are going to worry about or be concerned about, but we are. Any person that's assaulted, even if it's a verbal assault, which is an assault, you don't have to be physically assaulted to be assaulted. We want to know about it. It's a crime. So whether you're gay or straight, whether it's homophobic or not.
We're still internalising some of this homophobia ourselves. And are there places where it's more dangerous than Melbourne? Talk about Brunswick at the moment. You wouldn't go to King Street for any reason if you're a sensible person.
I don't think you'd... Look, the fact of the matter in Stonington, for example, the reality of violence in Stonington, according to officials there, is that it's actually more dangerous than the people's perception of it.
Really?
In Stonington. That's the message we're getting right now from the people in Stonington. Now, if that's the case, we know there's a problem in Chapel Street.
Just for Stonington, tell us about Stonington. What does that mean?
The main problem is around, 2 or 3 years ago, it was around Commercial Road with Evolution, which was a straight nightclub, which has since been closed and gone to God, thank goodness. It's now a number of venues in Chapel Street that are attracting a group of outer suburban people that always pick on gay men.
Are these gay venues particular, or are they just places where venues. Everyone mixed
venues that sometimes have gay nights, but the common thread is a lack of responsiveness by staff in the venues, bar staff, security staff. In fact, some violence comes from the security staff. If you check the Anti-Violence Project website, you'll see that. And the patrons are attracted to these places more than just for the music, more than just for the attraction of the opposite gender or the nightlife. Sometimes we hear allegations of they're coming for hooking up for drugs or for some of the, to use party drugs. There's a combination of factors where people are alcohol affected, drug affected, come in with prejudice from the suburbs and act out against people. And the gay people are the easiest target when you're in Chapel Street.
And we get back to the same problem. These people are coming in from wherever they're coming in from, and they're coming in to have a drink, to take some drugs, and, hey, let's bash somebody. And they know that the gay men and the lesbians, trans, bisexual people tend not to report it, just like we were talking about. So we can go and bash someone and we're going to get away with it. We'll get our jollies. And same with at Beats. They go down to Beats sometimes and bash the men at the Beats because they will not report it. So that's their fun for the weekend. And they're getting away with it.
We might head to a song and then resume our chat all about homophobic crimes. If you'd like to contribute as well, you can SMS 0427 joy949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And it's gone a bit quiet with the old raffle tickets out
there. Oh, yes. Come on. Do you know about Liza Minnelli, don't you? She's still around. She's still performing. She's expensive. And she's sold out. And by which I mean her show is sold out.
Yeah, it's sold out.
Liza would never sell out. So if you want to actually get to see, this is your last chance in Melbourne probably to get to see Liza by buying a raffle ticket for $10 or buying 40. You don't have to be a member. You just have to ring up and say, I want those last 40 tickets. Here's my $400. Put me in the draw for one of those 200 tickets.
That's right. They're only $10 a ticket. So 9699 2949. Keep us busy.
And thank you, Laurie, who bought two. Joe, who bought five. Keep those coming in. We've got to beat those pesky lesbians who are on breakfast this morning who sold 48. I mean, you know, we've only got 40 more to go. Are you having
Zine with Adam and Nick, and that was Little Boots. It's 11:45. We're here for another 15 minutes, and we've got gay and lesbian officer Gabby Tyack and also Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project. We're talking about homophobic crimes.
We are. And Harriet rang in. Thanks very much for calling in, Harriet, and made a point that some people may be reluctant to report a homophobic crime because we do live in a small world and people hear about things. Stories get taken out of context, and I suppose the corollary to that is you might be seen to have solicited or initiated or been at fault or something like that. I suppose there's a point there.
We actually deal with that through the AVP website. Some people don't want to report to police. They just can't do it for whatever reason.
Mm.
Now, on the AVP website at antiviolence.info, they can nominate what information is allowed to be passed on to police, if any.
Oh, okay.
Which means their personal details can be confidential. They can, if they don't want to actually make a formal report, their information can become or their details can become an information, which then helps police line up the ducks for other incidents.
And that's what you've been saying, Gabby, and I'm sure the information is confidential.
It's absolutely confidential. Whether you report it to police and give all your information or whether you report it anonymously and just give us the information that you think is significant, where you can use that information and hopefully solve a crime or prevent future crimes. Mm-hmm.
So we've established that there is too much homophobic crime out there and assaults and violence. It's not being reported. And, of course, if we don't, it becomes a vicious circle. People think, well, it's not there, so why should we deal with it?
Well, why should gay people be easy targets? Mm. We shouldn't be.
It should. But there's been some pretty positive action happening, though. As a result, we've got this fabulous gay lesbian, the Glows, out there.
Well, we've got this relationship here with Joy.
We
do. And you and Nick and Adam.
And the Anti-Violence Project. There's
that's right.
Stuff. You've been actually out there teaching venues how to improve their pick-up
game. We've been running training for a couple of weeks with venue staff, but venue staff, management of venues and security staff on how to support people to get over that hurdle and make a report to police, and if they're not safe or not comfortable, how to make a report using the Anti-Violence Project online website. So it's actually people from the straight venues in Stonington, shortly when we roll this out past after next week's Liquor Accord, people in Stonington will be able to go from the straight venues knowing that there are gay venues at the first instance and later on the straight venues where they can report violence, which is just awesome. Once again, the gay community leads addressing violence issues for the broader community. It's very positive. And people, Nick, can actually be involved in developing posters. They can be involved in campaigns like Idaho. A few months ago, we had people that were involved just in developing websites, just in altering photos to put up on websites or in communications. There's a range of ways people can do things positively without having to come to a boring monthly meeting.
You know? I'm sure they're never boring. And you still need your monthly meetings and stuff.
And we've had a SMS through from Tex to say, great having Gabby and Greg on the show. Interesting topic. I've had a supportive response from the gay and lesbian liaison officers. In my experience, it does work to report. So that's great to hear.
It sure does. Mm.
Now, there is actually a major concern about violence, especially at alcohol hotspots or pubs. And there's pretty compelling evidence that the more sort of a density issue. The more big drinking outlets you have clustered together, the more likely there is to be violence around them, especially when they're competing to sell drinks cheaply, etc. Is that any relationship to homophobic violence? Are we experiencing the same sort of problems with venues where is this what's happening in Chapel Street, for instance, where there's just too many?
It's about personal responsibility or lack thereof. People aren't taking responsibility for their own actions. They're getting a gillful of alcohol. They're out there, maybe dosed up on some drugs, and they're not taking responsibility for what they then do with themselves and their bodies and their friends and their networks and their lives. And they're impacting other people in a very bad way. So it's about responsibility. Go and party. If you're going to do your drugs, do it and don't harm yourself. If you're going to take alcohol, do it and don't kill yourself. Mm. But don't harm other people. It's about personal responsibility. And the police now, which is fantastic, are now directing efforts towards tackling people that don't take personal responsibility to heart and actually break the law.
So if you're getting legless, are you more likely to be a victim or targeted to be seen as being...
That's a good question, isn't it?
I would say so, because you're less aware of your surroundings. You might take more risks than normal. So if you're going out and having alcohol and other drugs, try to make sure that you're amongst friends and you can look out for each other. Maybe have someone that is going to be sober or at least take less than you are, so that they are aware of what's going on. So you're not walking out into a street, walking down a dark lane, thinking, okay, this is a quicker way home, putting yourself in a situation that may become dangerous.
Yeah, and it's the venues too being more responsible. Mm. I mean, it's much better now. I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, I won't mention the gay venue, but a gay venue near Commercial Road was turfing out people that were staggering across the road, walking down the street toward the railway line, were in danger of being hit by cars, let alone being robbed by people or being bashed by people. That responsibility has been taken to heart by the gay venues in particular, and they're much more responsible around serving of alcohol these days. And it's about bar staff continuing that responsibility so they protect the rest of us.
Well, I think by law, venues have to. There is responsible service of alcohol protocols and things. They have to be able to do
this. That's the rule.
Whether they do is another.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a whole duty of care thing going on.
Yeah. So are gay venues getting better, do you reckon?
I reckon they are. I mean, I'm so out of it. I only go to gay venues these days to help train staff or talk to venue staff or talk to people about violence. I actually don't usually go for a beer.
But
it's different. It's better, I reckon, Gabby.
Yeah, and the fact that the venues are hooking up and linking up with you and agreeing for you to train their workers, that shows that they are really interested in changing. Yeah.
Do you still
better.
Go out at night? Adam?
Not as much as I used to.
We're all getting a bit old here.
We are, aren't we?
No, but I remember I was just thinking back to when I first started going out, and when I didn't have any gay friends or anything, and I used to go out by myself. I didn't drink, but I was still going to and from venues by myself. So if people are doing that, I guess it's important to, let your best friend know, or let your mum know, or let your just let someone know where you're going and what time you're expected to be home.
Do you know, that's the perfect example. I mean, we've got a missing student that's out there at the moment, Timothy Wing Kung, who went missing Monday last week.
From Fern Tree Gully.
From Fern Tree Gully. Now, he's a young gay man that he left his home and he didn't let anyone know where he's going. There's no indication of where he's going. He's actually missing out there. The family have come to Melbourne to try and find him, discovered he's gay because he wasn't out to his family. Now he's out.
Yeah.
And this is a great example where there's missing information. This man can't be traced because people don't know enough information about where he went after he left
his home. Has anyone seen him? We need to know.
So a bit of a call for the gay community. And Joy has such a listening audience and such a breadth of audience. If you have any information about this, you can find out more on the Anti-Violence Project website at antiviolence.info, links to The Age and The Herald Sun. This is where... being aware of our safety, it's a great example of being aware and talking to people and telling people where we go. Now, if we go into the community and we go into the sex clubs, or if we go into other places of the community that are a bit more darker, a bit more solitary, still find someone to tell where you go. Let someone know in your circle of friends where you're going and when you expect to come back.
And there's a photo of Tim. You can access that on the Anti-Violence Project website as well. But it shows we were on the Paul Anthony the Conch on Thursday, and we spoke about violence in the inner west at some beats, asking for some information. And we had some callers from Joy give us some information that really is going to help the police hopefully find out who these offenders are.
Right, because... I mean, beats are kind of by definition a bit dangerous, although there's been extraordinary action in Victoria with the Victorian police in not getting rid of them, but in fact improving the safety of them.
Making the area safer for everyone who uses it, yeah.
So, you know, there's, which is, I think, still astonishes me that we've at least gone that far. I think that's a huge leap ahead. But by the same token, a general sense of where it's safe to be gay and not safe, you know, it still pervades our general behaviour. And we do, you know, do we feel as safe as any member of the community about going anywhere we feel we should be allowed to in this city?
Back to beats, if we're actually at a beat, we should be doing a beat in a way that no one that's not gay and not doing a beat knows that it's going on. So it's when we act out in a way that starts to let people know that don't need to know what we're doing about our behaviour, that can draw the attention to us and that can lead to problems and violence as well. So, I mean, you beat users out there, I'm not going to say don't do it. Get out there and do it safely, but make sure that no one knows what you're doing while you're doing it.
And at Victoria Police, we're interested in other crimes that are going on. Yes, it is an offence to have sex in a public place, but there's also other serious offences that are going on against beat users, such as sexual assaults, thefts,
and bashing.
Vicious assaults, robberies, blackmails, a number of things. So
broken windows. We look, the ABC had the report of the broken window at that place that you talked about in the western side of Melbourne. Broken windows to the car, damaged panels, panels kicked in.
All right, so being parked around the area.
And these incidents not being reported.
Well, you can see why people wouldn't report going to beats, because probably beat users aren't particularly out in some ways, or probably don't identify as gay.
True.
So there's this whole legion of men who have sex with men who aren't gay, who may not be listening to this station, in fact.
But when they do report, the fabulous work of the police then kicks in. Now they've got enough information coming through from the reports from beat users that will hopefully identify who the perps are and target them.
And if you go and report a crime that has occurred at a beat, you will not be charged with offensive behaviour. The police will look into the crime that you've reported, because it's a more serious crime. Yeah.
So you won't be hauled up in public and sort of explain your presence or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And people can always do it anonymously as a last resort, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we prefer to have your details, because then if we find the offenders, we need victims' statements to pursue it and go to court. However, if all you're willing to give is some information, that information we will happily accept.
So what's left for Community Safety Month for you guys?
Oh, big one. Coming up...
what about today, Greg?
Today is big. Being here with you guys.
But we also have Minus 18. We're doing Meet the Glows and talking about personal safety for young people. So we're doing a presentation, Greg and myself, and some other glows at 2 p.m. And then we've got something on Monday night.
Yes, but Hide and Seek with Dean and James, I think.
James, yeah.
It's going to be a bit of fun on Hide and Seek.
About sexual assault.
Well, a bit of fun about sexual assault. We're going to try and deal with it in a way that's fun. It's a serious topic. Yes. We have some fabulous people like Carolyn Worth from Sakaza's coming along and a few other people. It should be great.
Good. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on Saturday Magazine. We've been talking, well, about homophobic violence, because it's Community Safety Month and this is a big issue for us. It's not going to go away. We will continue to talk about it with Greg Atkins and with Gabriel Tyack down the track and others. And we got another two tickets for the Liza Minnelli raffle. That brings us up to about 27.
That Beckenlini beat us, I think.
Unless are you trying to take my five as well in that
can
number?
We have your five,
no,
please,
but we would gladly have them. That makes us 32.
Hey!
So there must be...
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.